everybody to CRG's interview program, our Secrets of Success series. We have Richard Nodell, and he likes to be called Dick, though, who is an expert in career development. Now, Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You've been in career development for how many years now?
Well, it's over 40 years.
So just starting.
That's right. Well, actually, I went to graduate school in the late 1960s and studying counseling psychology, but also clinical psychology. And in clinical psych, I really got involved in a lot of testing. You know, I'm a psychometrist, so I use the Rorschach Inkblot test and all of those things. So I've always liked to have assessment instruments.
Now, you have more acronyms and abbreviations behind your name than any person I know on the planet. So you're certified with a career counselor. What are some of the other certifications,
Dick, that you have acquired? I'm a nationally certified counselor. That's really a therapist. I'm also a nationally certified career counselor. I'm also a charter career management fellow, and that's basically people who work in the outplacement field. And then I'm also a career development facilitator instructor. So I do have a lot of initials after my name. But basically, I train career counselors. That's what I do as a profession, career counselors and career coaches.
And all the people sort of connected to that industry and the development from career centers to career coaches to career development professionals, even internally within organizations.
Sure. I train human resource managers in organizations. I train career coaches in private practice. I train workforce development people that work with people on welfare, work with outplacement consultants. But anybody, I work with and train people who are involved in helping people make either a job or a career transition. And that turns out to be all of us.
And it is all of us, anybody that wants to work for a living, for sure. And you also have some claim to fame because one of your best friends is the author of What Color Is Your Parachute?
Well, that's Dick Bowles. He and I always argue a little bit about assessment and stuff. And so he considers my instruments learning tools, not tests.
And isn't that what we want to do with people in the career development, is to help them learn?
That's correct. And I think that we want to get away from clients looking for some magic thing coming out of the computer that tells them, even though they've never played a piano, they ought to be a concert pianist. We really need some learning instruments that help people have a much better understanding of their various attributes.
And who they are. And we'll get into that just in a moment. But, Dick, you were also doing some university courses there for a while. And weren't you teaching on assessments for a while?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that and what you were doing there.
Yeah, for about 12 years, I taught a graduate course in career assessment techniques at the University of California, San Diego, and that was for a certificate program in career counseling for people that already had master's degrees. But it was to help them learn more about career development and career counseling.
And you were also, as part of one of those modules, is really outlining to people the different assessments that are in the marketplace and the differences that they bring and those pieces as well.
That's correct. I tried to give them a pretty good background on all the different types of assessment instruments that are available, and talked about the pluses and minuses of them.
And with that, that's a perfect transition, Dick. And I always call you Richard. You just seem that you need that kind of level of respect.
Well, that's okay. My mother always called me Richard when she was mad at me.
Okay. Well, you know that I'm not mad with you, Richard, and appreciate you as a friend and a colleague. But you have now been connected to Consulting Resource Group, or CRG as everybody knows it, for it's getting close to 25 years.
I think it's closer to 30 years. I was just looking at the calendar, and it was very much in the early 1980s.
And so tell us that story about how you came across the CRG tools, and just some people might be curious about that.
Well, I always have been using different tools, especially when I was working with employees at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in the late 70s, early 80s. where I tried to use tools that were designed for professional adults. And a lot of the tools out there were basically used to look like they were appropriate for children in schools. And so one of the instruments that I was always interested in is a personality-type instrument. Mm-hmm. And of course, at that time, the most popular one was the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. But there were several other ones around. And I always tried to, when I decided to use an instrument, I would first of all take it myself, and I would judge whether how easy it is, how is the administration process, but also how accurate it is in describing me. And then if I thought it was fairly accurate, then I would give it to staff members, have them take it, give me some feedback on how they felt taking it and how accurate they thought it was and also how accurate I thought it was for them. And only if it passed those tests would I really want to use an instrument. So, for instance, I used the DISC, personal profile, at that time, and I found that was just very cumbersome to take and score the instrument. So that kind of turned me off to that particular instrument. But in the early 1980s, a colleague in the mentoring field, Bill Gray, who lived in Vancouver, and I was doing some work on mentoring with him, and he mentioned an instrument that Terry Anderson had developed in Canada, which was the personal style indicator. And so I said to Bill, well, send me a copy, let me take a look at it, see if I can use it. And I did take it, and I thought it was quite easy to take. It was accurate in the little description of my personality style. But what really sold me on it was the two-page in-depth description of that personality style. And I thought it was much more accurate than any other personality-type instrument I had ever taken. And so that really impressed me. That in-depth interpretation impressed me more than any other personality instrument. So in essence, I started using that in the career counseling classes, where I was training counselors to do career counseling. So I also used it in industry doing a team development and team building, especially in organizations where I was working with engineers mm-hmm. and marketing people, because engineers are from Mars and marketing people are from Venus, and they yeah. need to understand each other better. And I found that the personal style indicator was really good to do that with. It was fairly easy to administer, easy to understand, but also very accurate in the in-depth interpretations.
And the in-depths and the brilliance of Terry and Everett as they designed the first versions and now getting myself involved with it is that it really honors the participant. So you said earlier that what have you found the participants' responses to the statements in the in-depth interpretation sometimes which actually challenge them as far as some odd development opportunities? What's usually the responses that you see and have when the participants get in-depth interpretations and review it with you?
They are generally astounded about how accurate it is. And typically what I would hear is, this tells me why I was so unhappy in that job or why I failed in this other thing. Because it's this is an instrument that really gets some light bulbs going off for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are an expert in assessments. And if we're communicating to other people who are using other tools, and I know this is a very sensitive issue because you have some family members who are into MBTI and DISC and these others, why do you prefer the PSI over something like MBTI or some of these other assessments out there beyond what you've said so far?
Well, I think it's more practical. It's not laid out in educational or psychological jargon. It's very much very practical, straightforward interpretation of the results of the instrument and the in-depth style. So I find that people I work with who are in the workplace, I work with professionals in the workplace, they can take it and very easily implement it right away in the workplace.
And so you also don't need certification to use it.
No, you don't. For instance, the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, you very much need a personal interpretation because it's not included in the booklet, and that's also an easy one to have misinterpreted. And it does require certification. But the personal style indicator doesn't, even though certification is available, it's not mandatory to buy and use it because there's a very detailed booklet that comes with the PSI that walks you through the interpretation of it. And I think any professional can take the PSI and understand it without an interpretation from a professional counselor.
Okay. Well, thank you, Richard. One of the things you do now is you include the personal style indicator as part of your career development course.
Yes.
Why do you think style is so important for career development? Why should we even care about it?
Well, for instance, I never want to use style to choose a career field.
Which both you and I agree 100% on that.
Yes, and I think it's a real big mistake for someone to take a style instrument and they're very high on analytical and say, oh, therefore I need to go out and be an accountant. Well, actually, good accountants could have any of the 21 different styles.
Yep.
Because they would be a different type of accountant. So I think personality really describes the way you do your job or career, or the role you take. For instance, I'm really high on two of the scales. I'm high on the behavioral and the affective. And so I like to talk.
That's why you like doing audio interviews and not writing anything.
Yes, and I also like to do action things. Now, so there, and I'm quite low on analytical. Even though I have very good analytical skills, I do not have a preference to do analytical things. So I basically hire an accountant to take care of my books.
Yes.
And I avoid situations where I have to do analytical things. And I go towards things where I can talk and juggle a lot of plates at one time. So I think the analogy I frequently use with clients is, if you look at, if we were all physicians, physicians can have very different kind of personality styles. For instance, the emergency room physician ought to be high on the behavioral. That means that physician will want to work very quickly. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if someone's a physician that wants to be a neurosurgeon, then I think they need to be very high on the analytical or the cognitive area because they want to be very careful and thorough. On the other hand, if that physician is working in pediatrics or long-term care, I think that would be higher on the harmonious dimension. And then finally, on the other hand, if they want to do things like I do, which is teaching, they probably need to be high on the affective dimension because they like to talk and write and do things like that. So I think that personality style, I'll back up a little bit. When I work with people to help them make decisions around developing a career goal, I want them to use their values, their skills, their motivation, and their interest in order to determine the career field. But then I want them to use personality to really determine what their role is going to be in that career field.
Mm. And that's a critical difference than what a lot of people are teaching sometimes, isn't it?
I think so. It's unfortunate a lot of people would take an instrument, especially when it comes out of the computer, and they say, oh, the instrument tells me how to be a forest ranger or that. The instrument doesn't tell you those things. It can tell you that you have some interest or attributes similar to people in a particular field.
Right.
But it doesn't really tell you that's what you ought to do. I think it's more complicated than that.
Well, we could get sidetracked on that with career clusters and type indicators. But both of us agree that that's not the appropriate use of personal style or personality type assessments.
Yeah.
With that being said, how are you teaching now career counselors in your course to use the PSI? But you also have a couple other assessments from us that you really enjoy using, and one is the job style indicator. So just talk about how you're using the personal style and job style indicator together and also oriented career professionals around that as well.
Yeah, well, of course, the personal style indicator, when I use it in the course, I first of all use it with them for them to understand their personality style. That's extremely important. But I also do it in a group setting where they can see a range of diversity of styles among a whole group of people that have the same occupational title. And then another thing I want them to both understand the personality style of the others in the group, but more important than that is to value the personality style of someone that's very different from them. For instance, since I'm really high on the behavioral and the affective and very low on cognitive, I need to really make it a point to appreciate people that are very high on the cognitive and low on the behavioral or the affective. Because they can really, if I worked on a project with them, they can really contribute a lot in the area that's high on their personality.
Rather than just playing to my side. So what you're saying is it's important to really, for that appreciation, to be able to have diversity within the team versus just me bringing myself to the table.
Yes, and actually the best team is one that's made up of people with very different styles, because they can each bring something new to the table there. So I use that. I have them understand it for themselves, but then I also have them to understand they can use the instrument really easily with the professionals that they work with. Now, if they're working with non-professionals, then I would generally recommend maybe the quick style indicator.
Mm-hmm. So for those that are listening, that is just a simpler version of the personal style indicator. It's just the PSI light is what that is.
That's right. And people need to be a little more sophisticated to take the personal style indicator, because the way the questions are posed, you're asked to rank order four very negative things and say, which one are you most like? And that's difficult for someone if they're not sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
So less sophisticated people, or people where English is not the first language, sometimes they'll recommend the quick style indicator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or if they speak Spanish or something like in your area, then the tools are available in different languages as well. So if somebody's listening to this interview, then that's an option as well for them.
Yeah. Then the job style indicator is a little different. This is one that if they wanted to understand the personality characteristics of a particular job or career, their job is to go to someone that really understands that job or career, especially someone that might hire people in a particular job. Ask them to take the instrument not according to their personality style, but the personality style they think is most important for a successful person in that job. And there they can then see what the personality style looks like for an ideal person in a job and how their personality pattern fits that. And I tend to use bar graphs on that. And it gives people a lot of insight about how their fit is with the job. Now, just because your personality doesn't fit the job doesn't mean you can't be successful. But it probably means you can't be successful in the long run in it, because it's not going to be a real good fit. We can be successful in the short run in modifying or changing our personality or changing our behavior to match that. But I think in the long run, our behavior needs to match our personality preferences.
And, you know, we support that as far as just if you're out of sorts with it, it just starts to create stress. And probably long-term performance will go down, motivation will go down, interest will go down. And you either accept that lower performance or quit or be fired.
Yes.
One of the ones that happens there. Now, at the peril of self-promotion is that the job style indicator, based on what I know, maybe you can confirm this, Richard, is that there's not other tool providers that actually have that tool, that the job style is unique to CRG.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not found another one that does the same thing. Now, I do caution people that use it, is don't use it for selection. Use it for matching.
Right. And we do encourage people that they can, as a short list, candidates, that they can really talk about compatibility, as you talked about, in job fit. And including it in a HR process, we do encourage that, but only in a short list basis, but also with all the other matters that normally would go into a recruiting process. You never exclude all the other things. This is an added dynamic. And what's the stats that you have, Richard, as far as people not enjoying their work. In other words, the dissatisfaction level of people out there. I know that our stats are fairly high of the percentage of the population that really are not living on purpose or doing the job that they love in the environment they love.
I think it's a good 50%, maybe more than that. And even though we're in very bad economic times, there's huge numbers of people just waiting for the economy to get better so they can change jobs because they're not happy in what they're doing.
Mm. I know the U.S. HR Association had that number as high as 80% of people who are considering and looking for an alternative position or job.
Yeah.
So it's pretty hard to have full engagement or optimized performance when four-fifths of the people are looking over their shoulders to different opportunities.
I've just been lucky the field I'm in. I'm around people that are in jobs that really fit their personality and their skills and stuff. Because those are the professionals that actually spend the time and effort to go through training that I do.
Well, it's interesting when we talk about, people, why are people not doing the careers that they're doing? And so this is sort of a sidebar, and, it's a little bit off the CRG track. However, this would be a good insight for listeners, Richard. Why do you think there's such a high percentage of people that are not connected? So let's maybe leave the economy out. And why is it that a lot of people are not in
the
position?
Well, they're doing things that other people tell them they ought to do. Well, oftentimes, they're doing things that their parents thought they ought to do because maybe the parent aspired to that. But also, unfortunately, many people, when they're deciding on a job or career, they first start with, okay, which ones will pay me the most, which is the wrong place to start.
Mm-hmm.
The place to start is, which job or career do I have the skills for? And I would do it even if I didn't make any money at it, that I really would love that so much. Now, if they can identify that, I can teach them how to make money at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically the starting point. And for instance, as a career counselor, I'm not even that concerned about the labor market because my clients only need one job. So in a way, it doesn't make any difference what the labor, because it's only that one. And if it's the right one for them, that's mm-hmm. the one they need to get into.
Right.
So it doesn't have to do with, most of the available jobs are in the service area, so that's what I'll go into. Well, maybe that's not going to be a good fit for you in terms of personality and those things.
And that's where the PSI and the job style indicator are such powerful tools to help people with that.
That's correct, yes.
Now, you have another tool that you use periodically from us, and that is the entrepreneurial style success indicator.
Yeah, I use that a lot.
So tell us a little bit more about that tool and where you're using it and where you have used it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because the first part of it is very much like the personal style indicator, where you basically look at your personality, but then the interpretation of it says, if you become an entrepreneur, this is the type of entrepreneur you would be preferred being and would be most successful at. And so that's the first part of it. The second part is a group of statements. I think there's 28 statements.
Yes, there are 28.
Yeah, statements which were developed by a former teacher of mine, Howard Shenson, who was a real expert on consulting many years ago. And these statements are ones that you, the person that takes the instrument, can score between 1 and 10 points on each statement on how accurate the statement is to describe their background. There are statements like, I was an only child or the firstborn. And in essence, you get a score based on how similar your background is to the background of successful entrepreneurs. Now, if you score very much like them, doesn't guarantee you'll be a successful entrepreneur, but it says you have something in common. If you score very different from successful entrepreneurs, doesn't mean you'll be unsuccessful, but you ought to look at the fact that you have a very different background. So it's a lot of information from that, and I use that for career counselors I work with who are wanting to build and expand their own private practice, but I also use it for everybody I train as career counselors because they will have to work with people that would-be entrepreneurs. and that's an excellent instrument to use with a would-be entrepreneur to give them some accurate feedback about what their preferred style would be and also how similar their background is to successful entrepreneurs. So that's the two ways that I use it. One for career counselors in their private business, but also when they work with would-be entrepreneurs.
And if you look at sort of the numbers on small business or self-employment success, those numbers don't reflect people being careful and thoughtful there either, meaning the stats out of Industry Canada is 75% of small businesses less than six employees are out of business within the first 5 years.
Yeah, that's the case here in the U.S. too. And part of that has to do with not selecting something that's going to be compatible, not only with their interest and their skills, but also with their personality.
And so they're getting into a style of business that is contrary to them. Or, I don't know if you found this, Richard, but they don't necessarily know how to build a winning team around them because they don't understand this concept of entrepreneurial style.
Well, yeah, actually most people don't know how to build a winning team because they often practice the clone theory of hiring. Let me hire people just like me. And that doesn't work. For instance, Ken, you're very high on the B and the A, and you don't need any more people that work for you, especially people that work on your computers. You don't want them high on the B and the A. You want them high on the C.
Exactly.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't understand that. They want to hire people just like them, but oftentimes we need to hire people very different from us. And so to me, the best team basically has people from all four of those major dimensions.
Now, this is kind of an interesting, this is a sidebar, something coming to me now, Richard, is that with all the information that we've had over the last, you've been in the industry now for 40 years, why are we still missing the mark with so many people? Why is such a high percentage of businesses failing? Why do a high percentage of people still in the wrong jobs? What is it that we're not doing well as professionals to get people to where they need to be? Where's the gap? Where's the missing link?
Well, I think the individuals are not looking inward at themselves. They tend to be looking outside. That is, read the newspaper. What are the newest business is coming out. I need to go in a new business. Or they're listening to what other people are telling them about what the
latest job trends or market trends are.
Yeah, I think, for instance, when we first had Sputnik, the satellite up there, a lot of people went into engineering. I think that's fine for people who have an analytical personality to go into engineering, but that's not an appropriate thing for somebody who has a very different personality. And so I think a lot of it came from external focus rather than internal focus.
I think that's a very important point, that one of the things that CRG does, and of course I have a bias, probably as well as any set of tools and assessments, is to help people to get clear about who they are and that the tools are simple yet sophisticated enough to give people information so they can immediately act on it instead of some kind of codependency where I need you to debrief or it's so complicated I don't even really understand what you just gave me.
Yeah, I think that's what most career counselors' job is, to help a person, first of all, figure out who they are in terms of their skills, abilities, personality, number one. Number two, then figure out what options are available out there. And then number three, say, okay, of those options, which one fits my values, my skills, my interests, and my personality? And that ought to be the appropriate goal, and then put together a plan to get to that goal. Well, those are four steps. Most people in the U.S., and I believe in Canada, want to start at step four.
Yeah.
How do I get there? Rather than going back to step one, and getting real clarity about who they are first.
Well, I've even noticed that in workforce development contracts, the governments are cutting back, and less is being allocated to getting to know myself and more about how to write a resume and get, job search. So even the decision makers are kind of missing it in that regard.
Yes.
So I really appreciate you taking the time with us, Richard, to kind of go through this. In summary, what would you say to others who you know, really haven't been exposed to CRG and the PSI before, not necessarily familiar with it and the job style and entrepreneurial. And of course, we have other tools too. But what would you say to them if they're just kind of thinking it in your experience and history of working with the tools now for over, like you said, close to 30 years?
Yeah, I would basically say, first of all, take an instrument, and the one, all of the ones I like, but I like the personal style indicator the best. I would say take the personal style indicator and see how comfortable you are with that, but also make sure you get the in-depth interpretations of your score on that and see how accurate it is. And if you believe it's accurate, then you ought to be using it. If it's not accurate, you shouldn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's basically, actually no career counselor ought to use an instrument that they don't believe in.
For sure.
Not accurate for themselves. That's why I want them started with themselves first.
For certain. Now, before we close, can you give us an example of where you used the PSI with a client or a client group or corporation where you just saw a big transformation with them right in the workforce or in the workplace?
I can remember a number of years ago working with an organization where the marketing department and the engineering department didn't even talk to each other. And there were about 9 or 10 professionals in each department. And so I gave them the personal style indicator and then got them together and did the interpretation of it. And it just light bulbs went on both sides where they started to understand the personality characteristics of the other type of person. Because we had all of these very high cognitive people, analytical people in the engineering department, and all sorts of people in the marketing department that were very much affective folks. I think it was probably about a 4 to 6 hour team building session I did with them. Just a lot of light bulbs went off, and they started working better together with each other. And so that's one of the things that comes to mind when I was working with a group on that.
Okay, well, thanks, Richard. Any final comments you would say to professionals considering sort of the CRG tools and the set and working with it beyond what you said about take it and you know, make sure that you're comfortable with it?
You know, it's something I would not use it if I didn't believe it was the best instrument to use. So even though if I'm teaching a course in assessment, I do point out there are instruments like the Myers-Briggs and others, but the one on personality that I prefer to use is the PSI. And so even though I think the other instruments might be fine, might be good instruments, the one that I find the most accurate, the easiest one to use with clients, the one that's they find most practical in relating to the world of work is the personal style indicator.
Well, thank you, Richard, for taking the time to be with us.
So my pleasure.
We sure appreciate you, and we appreciate being able to sort of hang out with you. I know that I met you 22 years ago. So, boy, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to catching up with another interview here soon.
Okay, good luck to you. Take care.